Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We are back with Spawn, Volume 10. Oh, 11. Volume 11. So let's go ahead and get started. 63 to 68, guys. One of the downsides of my success, or one of the things you sacrifice, is if you're spending tons of time at the drawing board, then you're not spending time with the people around you who gave you the inspiration to go on. That includes friends and family, and in my case, in the early part of my career before I had children, that was my wife. I thought I gave her the short end of the stick, and that I kind of sold her short in the early years of our marriage because I was trying to build up my career. That's one of the reasons why, when I created the Spawn story, I named the woman that Spawn trades his soul for after my own wife, Wanda. I came to grips that no matter how big and no matter how important some of the career-driven goals we set for ourselves, nothing is really as important as those we love, and it's something I try to keep in perspective and maintain a certain balance with. With the help of my wife, I've been able to create an empire, if you will. And at the same time, still not work on weekends, quit at 5:30 every day, keep normal working hours, and still lead a productive life outside of my business of Spawn. That's Todd McFarlane, Spawn Letters Page, issue 65. 97, July, Identity. Wow, look at that. Since the day he first appeared in the midst of Manhattan's filth and squalor, Spawn's stature among the homeless has grown. For the most part, he's accepted as their king. Word of his capabilities and of his in-your-face attitude has elevated him to near-mythic status. Yet, those living in and on the fringe of the alleys wisely respect the reputation of the Crimson Cloak warrior, giving his territory wide berth. Though he has now lived among them for almost a year, he has kept his true aspect from them. Owl is the only name he gives, and his face, so horribly scarred that human features were barely detectable, was never a topic for discussion either, until now. Holy crap! Owl! Jeez, man! Look at you! Is that what you really look like? Get out of here! Leave me alone! My God! He's right. God damn it, my face, it's back. All the scabs have been covered with flesh. My flesh. I'm a man again. Gotta think this through. What could this mean? Is it permanent? Temporary? What? The boys are gonna have a heart attack when they hear this. No, you'll say nothing to them. Not until... Aw, come on, Al. Everyone would be so excited. I mean, we know you can do magic and stuff. But figured you'd have given yourself a new face by now if you could. This is big news. Didn't you hear me? No one is to know about this, not until I'm sure what exactly the hell is going on here. Now go before I lose my patience. I need time to think. Yeah, gotcha, right, perfect, whatever you want. What a tight ass. Need to check something. My eyes, they're still blank. I knew this was too good to be true. They let me have my face, but it's not real. Just my necroplasm taking on my former features. And why? So I can go through another of their tortures? And I thought us humans could be a sadistic lot. We don't have anything over heaven and hell. Because it wasn't an accident that Angela and I were both nailed by that bolt. Someone's trying to send a message. Problem is, except that it made me feel a bit nauseous. I wouldn't have even known. But I'm not going to waste time trying to figure out the rules of Armageddon, not when I've got the chance to be whole again. I've jumped through enough hoops, so they're going to try to goad me. It's not going to work. I've got a piece of my life back. I'll take that. It's now just a matter of getting healthy so I can use it. They already knew that, the worms. Heeding an alert given off by Spawn's living tissue, the flood of bilateral invertebrates poured from every crack and crevice hidden within night's bleak shadows, oozing slowly up their master's body until it is blanketed. These burrowing, slithering creatures are Hell's back alley entrance to Earth, and they draw upon the sins of man and feed this energy to the demonic costume and its host. The man, once known as Al Simmons, welcomes all of it. I've already contracted the proper people at Delta Base. They'll be reinforcing the primary air strike team. What do you have? Hold on. All right. Good. We don't want to overexcite too many of the second shift desk jockeys. Precisely. Commander Hall will fill you in on the rest. Well, sir, since it was you yourself who received the terrorist threat, we've gotten absolute cooperation. A complete lockdown of the building will occur at 10 o'clock tonight. Okay, so this was one panel. And then there was good, we don't... Okay, so you get that. Sir, I've doubled the strength of the interior and exterior perimeter watches. Oh, damn it, there's more. I need to scroll all the way down, guys. Only security officials know about it, though, as per your instructions. And now we're into this. Police, FBI, and SWAT are all positioned to deploy as needed. And surveillance equipment? Additional units are in place, Mr. Wynn. This terrorist, whoever it is, can't be stupid enough to think he's actually going to penetrate this building. Insanity is helpful in guerrilla warfare, Commander. I'm sure it's just another idle threat from some militia group looking for media attention, but we must be diligent. Effective action on our part will deprive our assailant of a propaganda voice. My security branch, with your help, will instantly put an end to this threat. The reality of the matter is that Jason Wynn has been threatened by Spawn, not some ideological extremist. Yes, sir. If Spawn doesn't actually show, Wynn's credibility will be damaged. The way out was to speak in generalities and charge phrases. The scenario was routine enough otherwise. His subordinates did not question his word, while Wynn could only chain smoke to soothe his growing unease. You'll have over 300 specialists on hand at any given moment with enough firepower to level Brooklyn. The only reason he'll show is if he has a death wish. Unfortunately, they all do, Commander. Dawn, a time of rebirth. When light again graces the consecrated domain of Earth, commanding those that obey the darkness to hide once more, leaving those capable of at least the potential for good to carry on the day's work. With the light comes strength, so that those who now hold sway can embrace the day with vigor, even those born to hell. He now rises, the metamorphosis complete. The hell creature has fed. Now mind can resume its influence over body. At the same time, it telegraphs a need, which can only be met through a radical alteration of exterior image. Not bad. Now, there's just one more thing. Got it. A few blocks later. Yo, dude, looking for something special? We got all kinds. Blondes, brunettes, redheads. A big strapping lad like you might need two. Only $30 a poke. What you say, huh? What's the matter? Can't talk? That's okay, the girls like the silent type. Think it over for a minute. The guy says, yeah. Then there's Poke. I'm not in the mood. What about you? I didn't think so. Across town in the low-rent district rests the office of Private Detective Sam Birch and Twitch Williams. You know, sir, as I study this group of our early files, I can't help but think they're all somehow related.
Chomp, chomp. What you talking about? You think this Spawn guy has connections to some heavyweight politicians?
Excuse me. Not exactly, but the string of events that led ultimately to our leaving the force keeps twisting back on itself. Senator Jennings, Chief Banks, Spawn, Kincaid, even the attack on that U.S. Security Agency headquarters building. All this activity keeps pointing to someone very high up. Take a look.
And you think he's our puppet master? Listen, here's what still gives me a bleeding ulcer. Why the hell were we the poor saps that got stuck with Kincaid's dead body?
Haven't figured that out yet, sir. So far, the only correlation is our presence at his parole hearing. Still, it doesn't appear that Spawn is in bed with any of them.
Look, all I know is he got us suspended and I want my payback. I don't like when things get messy.
I assume you mean that figuratively.
Ring! Yeah, yeah. I'll get to the garbage later. You sure it's not your turn? Hello? Wynn? And your people haven't moved on it?
Excuse me, we'll try that one again.
Wynn? And your people haven't moved on it? Perfect. Thanks, Scott. Bye. Click! Well, speak of the devil. Grab your coat, Twitch. You remember the Gettys over in accounting? He said the precinct's been crawling with SWAT lately, all hot on the trail of our costume friend. Seems our vigilante's into kidnapping little girls. Sounds like the same fetish that Kincaid had, sir. Yeah, well, I'm sure he didn't knock Kincaid off just so he could have a monopoly on the local playground. Gettys also said a couple of drunks heard the spawn recently moved to a new location, deep in the heart of Rat City. So what are we trying to accomplish? Like I said, why did he dump Kincaid's body on our desk, customized and all with sharpened popsicle sticks? Have you ever considered that possibility that there may not be any logic to his action? Excuse me, that's the wrong guy. Have you ever considered the possibility that there may not be any logic to his actions? We might have just been random targets. I doubt it. Guys like him do things in a precise way. Costume freaks always perceive themselves as being better, smarter, and whatever they need to justify their actions. Just like Suture. It gives them a sense of power, I guess. Either way, I intend on getting a few answers before it's too late. In suburban Queens, a family touched by the curse of Hell's new warrior tries valiantly to retain as much normality as possible. Okay, here you go. Put your arms together now. You can't catch like that. Yes, me can. Terry, I'm gonna go get more iced tea. Can I bring you any? No, thanks. Bomp! Nice catch, Cyan. You're almost as good as Joe Kosenko defensively. Now go get the ball, but stay away from the road.
Here you go, Cyan.
Thanks, or tanks!
It's time we had a little face-to-face, Terry.
Excuse me, do I know? Sweet Jesus, Al? What's going on? I thought you couldn't regenerate your flesh, that your scars were permanent.
So did I. But every time I think I've got a handle on my powers, something new happens. I didn't do this. It just happened on its own last night. I came here to let you see for yourself, and to let you know how things are going to go down. I'm having a meeting of the minds with Wynn tonight, and either he backs away from you and Wanda or I burn his building to the ground. Are you crazy? Maybe. I guess I'll find out tonight.
His calmness seems out of place right now. That scares Terry.
Damn it, Al, we've worked too hard, trying to do this systematically. From a distance, we've got Wynn on the ropes already. Once one or two more dominoes fall, Wynn's whole international setup falls apart. Those plans have changed. Wynn's aware of our activity, especially yours. The time for subtlety has passed. I'll let you know how things turn out. Unfortunately, we have a bigger problem. I'm coming back for Wanda. Let her know I'm alive. I'm going to do everything within my means to be with my wife again.
Yeah? Well, she's my wife, too. So if you think I'm just going to roll over and die, think again.
Then we've just become enemies, I guess.
Terry, who was that you were talking to?
I don't know, just someone I thought I once knew. My mistake.
Good. Water. And she says, mmm.
Elsewhere. Since we're up on the weekend, the number of evacuees will be limited. Your units have been completely briefed then.
Good.
Then it appears there's nothing left to do but wait.
Tonk! Vroom!
Very impressive.
Well, Bulges should be pleased you've accepted his plans for you.
Oh, there's a little more.
So this is where it's all led? You exacting your pound of flesh? Getting retribution? Very impressive. Now, Bulges should be quite pleased you've accepted his plans for you.
Look, Cog, if you've got something on your mind, spit it out. But can the sarcasm, I'm not in the mood. And before you start in on one of your sermons, try and remember what it was like to be a man. Surely you haven't forgotten that now, have you? Or did you tell me that you were once a spawn just to impress me? Better yet, why don't you help me? If you are what you say, then fight with me. And if I get what I want out of Wynn, then I'll join in whatever grudge match you have with Hell. Otherwise, I couldn't give a crap what they expect from me. I can't. I figured as much.
You see, unlike you, I don't have the luxury of time. But when I did have a choice, I weighed the consequences of my actions. People outside our control are continually getting caught in our crossfire. They'll pay a price we never see. Your identity has been given back.
Just don't be so sure it'll last forever. I'm not. That's why I need to stop Wynn, so I can concentrate on what's important. Then make that the priority instead of your vengeance. Don't you see? Hell wants you to keep killing. They need that. You're playing their game. Then I'll play dirty! To be continued. That's a good image right there. 64 August, 97. Checkmate. Since his startling return from the grave, Spawn has been moving aimlessly through each day, trying to find a direction he can justify once he gets beyond that moment's rage. Now, for the first time in a while, there is a distinct purpose to his actions, a plan. Set into play by a seemingly random bolt of energy that mysteriously restored his human features. Though he's still composed of necroplasm, Spawn believes he is whole once again. This brought into focus a clear vision of what must be done now that he's recaptured his identity as Al Simmons, and with it, his lost humanity. His strategy is twofold. Neutralize his enemy, then show himself to the one person he exists for, his wife, Wanda. But he can't invade her life unless he's sure he can protect her. That's why tonight becomes so very important. If strength is power, and power comes from domination, then he means to lord over Jason Wynn. Overwhelm him to such a degree that Wynn will be crippled emotionally, paranoid for the rest of his natural life. Originally, Spawn wanted to just kill him, but it wasn't that simple. Wynn anticipated that risk and tied his own safety to that of people whose Spawn has inexplicably shown an interest. So instead, he gave Wynn his warning. Stay away from Wanda and her family. Do I make myself clear? But he also knew that Wynn needed more than a threat. So tonight, he'll deliver the rest of the message personally. All units have arrived, Commander Hall. What's our final count? Nearly 400, sir. Perfect. Deploy Alpha Group into main lobby, then send Baker and Charlie units next. I'll need to brief the generals on a few details before we station the remaining squads. Situation status? Quiet on all fronts, Commander. I'll keep you posted. Over. I'll keep you posted. Over. Narrowed green slits survey the sea of the Techno Security Force. He can't take them on. There's far too many of them. But that's a good thing. It means Wynn is truly scared. So with a thought, he melds with his symbiotic suit, wills it to change, morph into a desired state that will enable him to blend in with his enemies. Here, soldier, grab your infrared goggles and quit straggling behind. Yes, sir. A ghost has now become chameleon. Elsewhere in that concrete jungle. Shut up! I don't want to listen to your lies anymore. Okay, you alley punks, pay attention. I've just about had it with your deaf and dumb act. Now, I know Al Spawn hangs around here someplace, and believe me, I'm going to find him. So let's drop the see no evil, hear no evil routine. How about you? Red cape, lots of spikes, tight underwear, ring any bells? Well, I think Irene the Dominatrix is who you're describing. Ah, good one, Neil. Look, if I want a smart-ass answer, I'll ask for one. Gah! But I'll let you in on a little secret. Your hero, your so-called savior, he's wanted for kidnapping and murder. So don't be so sure he won't snuff you in your sleep. Clatter. Did you hear that, sir? Yeah, sounds like we've got a peeping Tom. Let's go. Eventually, the contorted alley dead ends. Okay, punk, step out and into the light, and no sudden moves. You needn't worry about my actions, detectives. It's yours that are cause for fear, for far greater concern. What are you mumbling about? Spawn, Billy Kincaid, yourselves, Mr. Twitch, you are all inseparably linked. Unfortunately, we can't discuss this while you mean to intimidate me with your firepower. How do you know about Kincaid? That's not important. It's just a detail. But I will tell you this, it wasn't by accident that Spawn left Kincaid's lifeless body in your office. He picked you two specifically to serve a purpose he has in mind. Listen, bud, what I'm more curious about right now is how the hell you even know about any of this. You got contacts on the Force? An informant? I just know. I'm in no mood for this. If you're looking for trouble,
Please, sir, let's listen to what this man has to say. Any new information he'll give us will help our search. We'll worry about the rest later. Besides, I'm sensing he needs us as much as we need him.
You are very wise, Detective.
The person you refer to as Spawn is not here at the moment. He has deluded himself into believing he can recapture the past rather than live in the present while planning for the future. After all, confusion is the state in which Hell prefers he dwells. That's how they control him. Until he conquers his anger, Spawn will never truly have a chance of being a man again.
Are we supposed to buy all this?
Believe what you must. My job is merely to present the facts.
Alpha Unit in position. Commander! Copy.
Okay, let's get Baker Unit in. They'll recon the subsurface levels.
Once inside, Spawn moves purposely to the southeast wall. He knows this building. Knows what it's capable of doing. His days as a sanctioned enforcement agent were not wasted.
What? Jesus Christ, Johnson, you've got lockdown. I repeat, you've got lockdown. Only 100 men made it inside. Someone tripped the code, Commander. It's sealed shut for the next 8 hours.
Kink!
And so the enemy they've been mobilized to repel has just walked through the front doors untouched.
Listen up. We've got new orders.
Split into groups of three and take a floor. Stay in sight of each other. Call in any disturbance. The assailant may already be inside.
Romanek, Shaw, you're with me. Let's go.
Spawn's first kill is quick, painless.
Huh? Where's Shaw?
God damn it, did you hear me, soldier? I said, where'd Shaw disappear to?
Spawn knows that these men will kill him on sight. It's how they think, how they've been programmed.
Though they're not his targets, he's not about to give any of them the chance to show why they were chosen for Jason Wynn's private security division. Instead, he'll prove beyond any doubt that his assassin skills, mixed with powers brought up from Hell's Black Gullet, result in a fury that will not be denied. Another crackle of energy. Surveillance systems short out.
I have a blackout on floor 6, east section. Is it the camera or a power fluctuation?
Working on that, sir. Well, just make sure you don't lose control of floor 15. We don't have our balls if anything gets near his office.
On that self-same floor, a small battalion has secured their commander from all sides. However, he allows none inside the office itself. He'll not be pandered to. He alone will ultimately in his charge of this...
Excuse me. Damn. How'd I forget that?
He alone will be ultimately in charge of this confrontation, and his intuition tells him that something is wrong already.
Sending reinforcements to the 15th.
Not a Spawn can help it. Which he can.
What's left at the bottom barely resembles anything human.
Dear God! Johnson, have you sighted the target? Is he inside?
Still trying to verify.
Crap! We've got a loss of electrical power on 7.
They're not the only ones. Our monitors have gone out. You guys are on your own now.
Telephones are out too. Someone get to Wynn now!
They use the stairwells now as none of the elevators are responding. Spawn's costume severed all the cables before knocking out one of the generators.
Send more units to the 3rd sub-basement. Defend the generators.
What do you have here, soldier?
A jammed door to the security and lighting systems. Blueprints show this is the only entrance.
Then let's gas it first.
Foof!
A very well-placed salvo's weakened the hinges, allowing the troop to then batter the door open.
There he is! Nail him!
As a thick toxic cloud blankets the vital nerve center, darkness becomes a treacherous ally for both sides.
Switch to night vision. Infrared 9.
Crunch!
Over here, his mask! Someone must have winged the scumbag.
That means he's wounded, so fan out!
He can't last more than a couple of minutes without a respirator.
Sir, I have contact. Looks like the gas finished him.
I hope you rot in hell, you son of a bitch!
The others make their way to the fresh corpse, wondering what kind of crazy man thinks he can take on a whole task force. The answer is simple. One who isn't a man anymore. His lungs don't work like ours, so the gas mask was just a decoy. Something to get their guard down. He's about to take brutal advantage of their error. Another 5 minutes and the rest of the building goes black.
Ding! What now?
Since silence is the message now whispering through phone lines, announcing a very chilling fact. Spawn is doing exactly as he pleases. It was never about wiping out an army. That couldn't be done, not even in Spawn's hellish new form. Damn it, we've lost radio contact. Rather, it was one of the oldest strategies in the book, divide and conquer. Nearly 3/4 of his opponents were left outside, and the rest, those unfortunate enough to have gotten inside, they're now chasing shadows, a wisp, an apparition. As Lieutenant Colonel Al Simmons, he knew the layout of this structure like the back of his hand. Even now, as the backup generators kick in, his presence will be that of a small army. All units, we have data link up back. Intruder is on level 27. Proceed. Wait, something else is on level 8. Crap, we lost him. Those Rutoff generators aren't helping the phones. We can't pin down how many there are. He can't believe there's only one, but it's a creature whose closest connection is with the inky shadows. Over there! What the hell is that? Control, we have it trapped on the 17th floor! Bracing for the worst, they round the corner. Nothing. The hallway is empty. Several seconds pass, then the floor beneath their feet vibrates, then convulses wildly, swallowing all who dare stand in its way, leaving its dispassionate host free to hunt elsewhere. Bleeding now with the shadows that drape the enormous, opulent room. The time has now come for Hell's Grim Reaper to manifest itself. Spawn allows just the slightest hiss to emanate from his uniform. Though nervous, Jason Wynn stands motionless as the icy hand of death draws near. He refuses to acknowledge Spawn's presence. His heart's pounding intensifies until it feels like it's about to burst. It's Judgment Day. Slam! From without, efforts are being made to influence the siege's outcome. Slam! You say one word and I'll cut your tongue out. Understand? Just nod. Good. Let's get a few things straight. I'm about to destroy your life. The power base you've built through manipulation and slaughter is about to crumble away. See? I know what makes you tick, Jason. And I'm going to slowly take that away from you. By the time I'm done, you won't have an international contact that'll even spit in your direction. Your reign of terror is over. Finally, the building's outer wall is breached. I'm your master now. So if you do another thing to harm Wanda or her family, I'll make it my unholy mission that you die that same day. You've already seen that nothing now can stop me. Now before I go, I want you to see what you've created. I want you to know who's going to haunt your every move. As the costumed creature retracts, the remnants of a man's face are barely discernible. Rot and pus-filled blisters have again come to dominate. Though he is not aware of it, Spawn's deterioration makes any chance of recognition an impossibility. That directive of yours, tying the lives of Wanda and her family to your safety, will keep you alive for now. But death is all you'll be protected from. So check over your shoulder if things go wrong. I'll be there. As he speaks, bits of decomposed flesh fall away. Suddenly, a stampede of heavy footsteps just outside Wynn's office. Kick down those doors! Hurry! I'm going to burn your empire to the ground. And you'll sit by and do nothing, or you're dead. Your directive be damned. Crash! Outside, symbiote and host rendezvous. In a moment, a joyous reunion will make them both whole again. Slam! Sir? Are you all right? What's going on here? We thought you might be in trouble. He must have gotten to you. No, you're wrong. I haven't seen a thing. Not a damn thing. Wow, that's from the movie, 65, September 1997, The Past. Oh, wow. Hey, this is from the movie, guys. Cool. New York City. So well explored, so well exploited. No one here belongs here, really, and they all know it. Those old immigrant areas where their grandparents lived? Anyone with the moxie moves far from there. Maybe a mile or two uptown.
looking back is for guilty pleasures, cheap nightclubs, cheap thrills, and a curious fascination with what kind of life still dwells in the old, narrow streets. First there was the Bowery next to Greenwich Village, so convenient for weekend slumming. Then the newer, trendy areas needed their own nearby slums, and the name became generic. So just beyond every redeveloped train station and shopping strip, wherever the money ran out, there lay a Bowery. That was then. Lately, these places have just become beacons for more than just the outcast. Wannabe trendies, scrounging for adventure and cheap digs, took over the less lousy hovels. The truly hopeless were pushed deeper into the maze. Those who survived the crowding became harder, more emotionally unbalanced, more in sync with their crumbling environs. Decent citizens came to fear these transients and vagrants. City government tries to sweep them away, and the police just plain hate them. In the place itself, after even its name was stolen by those who had stripped it of everything else, this destitute pit has been given a new one. Rat City, they call it. Home to gangs, pimps and prostitutes, drug dealers and junkies, any and all who have lost track of their souls. The night air is turning frigid as three men enter this dark domain. They stride purposefully, heading deeper into shadows that blanket what little they can still see. And the lead is Cogliostro. He looks all too much like one of the downtrodden, except for those eyes. Those eyes. Within his wrinkled face are a pair of coal black eyes. Eyes that, according to those who've looked into them, give the sense that he has seen things that most of us could never imagine. Tonight, he intends to share some of his carefully guarded wisdom with those who now accompany him, though not quickly enough to suit one of them. "Okay, this is far enough, old man," barks the disheveled Sam Burke. "I'm getting tired of walking around in this dead quiet with no idea what the hell we're trying to accomplish." Before replying, Cogliostro takes to face the two private detectives. He turns to face, rather. He locks his gaze on Burke. The moment is frozen. Then Sam jerks a hand nervously into his soiled trench coat's pocket, rifling around before pulling out a half-empty pack of cigarettes. Bumping one out, he glances down quickly as he lights it, thus breaking away from Cogliostro's stare. Sam's partner, Twitch Williams, straightens his tie and unbuttons his coat. He wants easy access to his shoulder holster if need be. "I concur with my partner what exactly is the purpose of our meeting here tonight," Twitch asks in a low, pensive voice. "Knowledge. Nothing else would have enticed you here," Cogliostro says. "Look, I just want to know why Spawn slung some fat dead guy in my office," barks Detective Burke. "You give me that answer and I'll believe whatever other crap you want me to." "I assume you're referring to Billy Kincaid," says Cogliostro. "You're damn right I am. As I said earlier, Detective, Spawn left Kincaid in your office for a reason. It wasn't a random act. At the time, he was still in shock from his rebirth. Confused in many ways, he still is. That's how hell needs him. Off balance. Unsure. Because in this state, the Spawn will always go back to what it knows best, fighting the urge all the while, and that is to kill. This newly recruited warrior, the one they call Al, is no different." An awkward silence fills the air as two detectives come to terms with what Cogliostro has just said. "You see, gentlemen, though what he accomplished was intended to be for the good, the only way he knows to achieve that end is to destroy. By killing the child molester, his sense of justice has been satisfied. His response to the situation, to commit a murder, exactly reveals why hell picked him in the first place. You see, the devil does not care the rationale a man may settle upon, only that the language of evil be expressed in some form." "What in Christ's name are you talking about?" Burke sneers while he drags another unfiltered lungful. "I'm about 10 seconds away from burning your ass downtown, so let's drop the psycho babble and try talking like a human being. You've got answers, and let's hear them. And without the melodrama, please." "Your sarcasm is not necessary, Detective. I may have been obscure in what I was saying, and that was not my wish. I'll try again to paint a picture of the one you so desperately seek. But before I begin, be advised that what I'm about to tell you is the story of an unholy curse that has been passed to many over countless generations. Passed most recently to this creature known only as Spawn. Pausing a moment, Cagliostro waits for Detective Williams to ready himself with pen and notepad. He knows the twitch won't let emotion blur his objectivity, that his skills as an observer are as well-honed as his sharpshooting abilities. Sir, Twitch interjects as he pushes his glasses up the bridge of his nose. Before we start, would it be possible for you to give us your name? You still haven't introduced yourself. Of course, I am Cagliostro. Those that live here call me simply Cog. You may do the same. Twitch catches Sam before he can say anything, before he can say something snide, giving his partner a look that says, "Let's just give this 5 minutes." Sam nods grudgingly. Both give their attention back to the old man. "You were about to say, Cog? The man you and your former fellow officers now hunt was much like you. Excuse me, was once much like you. He was a soldier and prided himself on his role in defending the nation's borders. His natural ability and youthful zeal gained him quick advancement in the ranks. Eventually, he was assigned to White House security, and while there, he helped foil an attempt on the president's life. This led to his ultimate recruitment into the USSC. Cog pauses a moment so Sam can interrupt. "Cripes! Isn't that where we traced all those calls Chief Banks was making?" "That's just what I was thinking," Twitch replies hesitantly. "What's more," Cog resumes, "this is where they turned the sometimes violent young man into an elite-level assassin, before they themselves eliminated him." United States Security Council. "His own people murdered him in cold blood. When he was no longer fit to serve their needs, his boss, his peers, his own country betrayed him. All because the young patriot found himself with a moral dilemma. He began to question the reasoning behind his past few assassination assignments." "But love the art, don't you?" "Are you saying this guy is some kind of friggin' zombie?" "Oh, he's much more than that, Detective Burke. He's now a tool, a pawn of hell. He's being primed for a war you may have read about. The final battle between good and evil, set to be played out on Earth at Armageddon. That's why he's back. Both sides will need great soldiers and, even more importantly, great leaders. That's what he's become, an officer in training, placed back on Earth to hone his abilities. One day, if he proves his potential, he may become one of the exalted chosen few, a leader of the soulless hordes of hell as they engage God's armies." Cagliostro pauses for a moment, and to give the men an opportunity to scoff. This time, though, neither of them has a word to say. Perhaps they are beginning to accept his words, or more typically, sheer disbelief may have tempted their inquiries. Either way, a seed has been planted. "I sense apprehension on your part. I hardly blame you. Come, follow me. There's something I'd like for you to see. A piece of Spawn's world that might make all of this a bit easier to accept." Without pause, Cagliostro turns and heads purposely into the gloom. Caught by surprise, the two detectives bustle after him, Sam puffing intensely and Twitch compromising none of his penmanship as he matches the pace. Whether by luck or design, they catch sight of him a scant half-second before he rounds a corner. As the threesome traverse the maze of garbage-ridden passageways, an odd sensation comes to Burke. Something is wrong. Based on every piece of intelligence he's gathered on Spawn, this is not where the cloaked enigma has been sighted. This consensus of the police puts his digs closer to 78th Street. Not in this vicinity, so where's the old man taking them? Into some kind of setup? A trap? Still, he and his partner follow Cog into the inky unknown. Turn after turn they make until it seems they've gone in circles. Suddenly, Cog stops short. Have a look at what he is now, a normal part of his existence. He gestures his right arm, pointing down a small alleyway no wider than 4 feet across. As it dead ends, there becomes apparent one last right-hand jog. Sam takes the point. It's a few seconds before their eyes adjust to the barest of indirect light. Then, they take in. A sight neither man will soon forget. A barely audible... Let me switch this up real fast. A little late to do it, but whatever. A barely audible whisper escapes Detective Williams' lips. Dear God! The construct is a twisted mass of rubbish, splintered wood, bent, rusted pipe. Moldy garage so ripe that the liquefied pools have gelled. pieces of almost any little thing. Clothing, bottles, syringes, newspaper, chicken wire. All woven into a specific form. But the component part that draws the detective's attention is the human remains. Some are still fleshy, some heavily decomposed. All are crawling with maggots. Thousands of maggots. Giving the illusion that the entire framework is alive. Alive and solid. Holding the shape of its own free will. Therefore, the thought of what it appears to be becomes even more repellent. Jesus! It's some kind of friggin' chair, bellows Sam. A throne, to be more exact, suggests Cog. The homeless revere this new warrior. They have taken it upon themselves to build a seat of prominence for their anointed king. The remnants of human skeletons are those of gangsters and drug peddlers. Spawn did not end their lives. They did that to themselves. You see, these alleys are a repository for man's evil deeds. Deprived of God's light as they are, they make an excellent dump site for murder victims. Spawn has collected some of them to remind himself of the madness he now calls home. Now before you pass judgment, explains Cog, consider his circumstances. This is a man who has lost everything he held dear. One person especially gave meaning to his life, and that was the woman he'd married. Hell knew this when it chose him. She was his Achilles heel. Love, after all, has always been mankind's greatest strength and most damning weakness. At the time of his death, Al heard a voice which claimed it was willing to help. Al asked for one last chance to see his wife. That wish, his love, sealed his fate. The voice spoke to him from a black void, and Al couldn't see a face. In despair, he assumed it was the voice of God. It was not. Rather, it was one of Hell's devils tracking the young man. Al was granted his request, but at the cost of a flood of physical and emotional tortures meant to demoralize his spirit. Though, as he reckoned time, he'd been killed only a moment earlier. 5 long years had passed among the living. Time itself had become a tormentor. His wife was now remarried to Al's best friend, a man capable of giving her a child. A child! Miracle she'd long thought impossible. For a man as vital as Al had been, this was a thought he would not even consider, that the childless marriage was due to a failure all his own. There was one other indignity. With 5 years gone by since his burial, his own family, when they thought of him at all, did so with only passing fondness. Adding to his anguish was his appearance. He returned looking as he had at the time of his death. As a charred corpse, the flesh nearly flayed away by a high-powered blowtorch. Try to imagine how you'd feel with your identity stripped away, your humanity lost, to find that the person from whom you returned, the one you dearly love, to be not only unaware of your identity, but repelled by that which you've become. Insanity would not then seem so far away, don't you agree? Oh yes, the charred skin is not the end of it. Hell has provided new skin of its own, a suit of living tissue which acts both as protector and uniform to its host. His metamorphosis complete, this new recruit must now adapt to survive and thrive in the age-old game between heaven and hell. Raising the stakes are his oh-so-slowly developing sense of his own involvement and the incomprehensible consequences for him should he fail, the worst being forfeiture of his soul. Looking up from his pad for the first time, Twitch asked tentatively, "Are we to believe this Spawn is some type of paranormal?" "No," Cog answers firmly. "His type are ordinary among themselves, and more common among us than you may think." He pauses for effect. Looking up, Twitch observes, "What? A trick of the light? A smirk?" Cog continues, "What he's become, as I say, is a tool. Forged from the substance of which all Hell's earthly children are made, called necroplasm. This infernal matter makes him a conspicuous target for Heaven's agents. Oh yes, God's warriors and hunters are among us too. Stationed here with a purpose. By God's light, each Hellspawn, for the fact of its existence, is condemned to death by decapitation. The odd fact about the dispensation of souls is that it alternates between God and Satan without any strict adherence to actual merit. That is to say, either side can pick a departed spirit that would rightly go to the other. You see?
It doesn't matter that this new spawn isn't truly evil, only that he serves the side of darkness. That's all that makes him an enemy of heaven. It has nothing to do with good or evil, not to begin with. It's why Attila the Hun resides in heaven. He never served God, and his soul leaves things to be desired. However, with things as they stand, he did not become the sadistic demon that hell would have made him into. Sam flicks his cigarette to the ground, crushes the butt out underfoot, then rubs his forehead. The overweight detective tries to formulate his next question without sounding beguiled. So heaven and hell are having some kind of draft pick with our souls. And whether we're naughty or nice has nothing to do with anything? Now that's a cheery thought. You're not listening, detective, Cog asserts scornfully. What I'm saying is that each one of us, each person who ever lived, is capable of extreme good or extreme evil. It's the choices we make that determine who we are. Such basic moral decisions are influenced in two ways. Through knowledge and environment, the pull of these influences will vary throughout our lives. We start at birth on equal footing but inclined towards our outcome as we grow. So our likely afterlife is usually defined during our lifetime. Why did Hitler crave to impose his will through manipulation and force while Mother Teresa dedicated her life to helping the poor? No one can tell you exactly when they picked their ultimate paths. But given, if you will, that we all have the same basic wiring, the heart of the matter is the sequences of events and information that make us react. We are responsible for who we are, no one else. That's why Hell selected this new spawn. Al had shown a wide range of defining points. Patriot, killer, lover, assassin. All these things he committed himself to selflessly and well, which made him attractive to both sides. So he has returned, thrown into the frying pan. How he reacts this time will hold tremendous sway over the final resting place of his soul. Right now, he's far from winning the battle, gentlemen. Each time he gains a moment's respite, another gauntlet is thrown before him. When he isn't trying to avoid forces of biblical proportions, he's coming into contact with abominations of flesh and blood. Supervillains, they've been called. And their effect has been to help unbalance Al's already unstable state of mind. He spends a great deal of time in a confused state, brooding. His instincts are all that's left to him, survival instincts. His adult life was a series of dangerous missions in unfamiliar places. He was trained to count on none but himself, to believe at gut level that killing equals survival and approval. This is what he can count on. It makes sense to the point that he wants to think things through. It's why the devil is winning, why he's won with all the hell spawned to date. They found it's easier to succumb to those feelings than to learn, to redefine what they've been transformed into. Looking down at his pet cat, Coglioso strokes the feline with ageless hands, callous as if from decades of manual labor. Then slowly he turns and starts out of the hidden den and back towards the open street. Come, detectives, Cog gestures. We've lingered in his domain for too long. Your goal now is to be invited into guests into Spawn's lair. As they follow the old man, a huge shadow passes overhead. Cogliostro makes note of it, but sees no reason to mention it to the less observant pair. Gray clouds rumble as Sam and Twitch stand now at curbside with Cog. They feel the first misting of rain. I've still got two things bugging me, snarls Sam as he leans into the bearded man, coming close enough to enforce an intense stare. First, how the hell do you know all this? And second, you still haven't explained why Spawn dropped Kincaid's body in our office. That little prank got a suspension from the police force. One thing led to another, and then we were out on our butts. It's not something I'm about to forget. Very well, detective, responds Cog. Your first question is simple. Al is not the first human chosen to bear this curse. Others like myself have been tainted by our prior actions. I, too, have had experience in Hell's Army. The answer to your second question is something you may not wish to hear. Every king needs the help of loyal knights. When each new Hellspawn appears back on Earth, they seek out those who may help them in their quest to recapture their lost humanity. He has chosen the two of you. The bloody body of Billy Kincaid established a bond between you, a
a death forever tying each of you to the other. I should say as well that Spawn himself is unaware that he's picked you. He was acting on an instinctive level. Regardless, you've been made partners in this curse. This hell spawn you set out to hunt is in reality your new master. You are to help him mete out justice. Nearby, the king is again in place in his sanctuary. Fresh blood stains his hand. Hold on, I don't think I did that right. Nearby, the king is again and in place in his sanctuary. Fresh blood stains his hands. Okay. October 66, 97, Demons. Wow. I'm so glad you weren't averse to answering a few more questions for us, Cog. So you just relax. Our office is only about 15 minutes away. I agree there was no need to cause a commotion in a public place, especially in light of this option. Exactly. I'm just looking for a little clarification on this whole we now serve the spawn scenario. I understand your confusion, Detective Burke, even through the transparent sarcasm. But what I told you back in those alleys is fact. Whether you choose to believe any of it is your own decision. It doesn't matter either way because your fates have been intertwined regardless. Yeah, sure, whatever. And that means Twitch and I are supposed to forget that Spawn cost us both our jobs. Forget the humiliation of being suspended from the Force before that. Well, sorry to disappoint, pal, but my rose-colored glasses broke a long time ago. I now serve the law. Agreed, but you will learn to do so with Spawn's assistance. You need not exclude one for the other. Excuse my forgetfulness here, Cog, but tell me again why we're supposed to become bosom buddies with this costume freak? Because, like you, he has lost the things that matter most to him, but he needs human hands to help him recover his humanity. You and your partner are now those hands. In time, all this will make sense. For now, I've said enough. Come on, don't sell yourself short. I'm betting you've got plenty to say. Right, old man? I said... Skeet! Christ! Creesh! Twitch! Jeez! Man, what the hell is going on here? I don't know specifically what you're referring to, sir. In future, though, a tiny warning before braking at 50 miles per hour and doing a 180 would be much appreciated. Where is he? He was with us before we entered the tunnel. Then what? The shadows just swallowed him? Detective Burke doesn't know how close to the truth he's just come. Elsewhere in the darkness of Rat City. Al Simmons, like some nervous schoolboy preparing for his first prom, wants to make sure everything looks just right. He's prayed for this since his return from the grave, to be normal again, to have his life back. It begins with one simple task, letting his beloved wife, Wanda, know that he isn't dead. That's why he's nervous, so to calm himself, he starts to hum. Again and again, the same song plays in his mind. Oh, so you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. Staying alive, huh? A slight smile creases his face as he gets to the refrain. The irony of those lyrics isn't lost to him, but as he exits the stained alleys that have hidden his existence, Al Simmons casts himself into the public with a swagger that screams, "Watch out, world!" The world obliges. Jeez, Louie, get a load of this guy. Whoa! Then, for the next half block, stares, side glances, the odd remark just underneath. Al thinks it's due to his stylish appearance. Yo, yo, yo! Check this new homie out! Say, mister, I hope you ain't planning to go too rough with her. Pardon? I mean, face it. Ain't no way some sister's gonna... go all sweet and soft, you looking like that. Like what? Come on, brother, stop messing. You know what I'm talking about. Don't matter how nice you wrap up a piece of crap, it's still crap. And don't take this wrong, but you definitely are one stinky mother. So what's your story? You some Vietnam vet or something?
I heard about that ancient orange.
Stuff really messed up a lot of people. If it'd been me, I'd sue the feds, especially if they crispy fried my face like that. Huh? No, it's gone. Not again. My face!
Yo, dude, don't cry. I'm sure you can find yourself some blind bitch that'll... Gah!
Shut up. You hear me? I'll break your goddamn neck right now.
Instantly, the rest of the gang jumps to their friend's aid. This time, however, they don't stand a chance. Luckily for them, the stranger unexpectedly ends the skirmish and slumps back into the embrace of the darkness.
Yeah? Well, screw you too, you freak!
The cold shadows and rotting discards. These alleyways have become an odd sort of prison. One which he can leave, but never escape. Not far away, in the borough of Queens, Wanda sits with her blind grandmother idly chatting away the early morning.
My, oh my, Cyan sure does have the energy of 3 children today, and that's without a nap yet.
I'll set her down after lunch, then we can have a little quiet time for ourselves. Don't worry about me, Wanda, you know I don't mind. We do what we need to do when they're that age, that's for sure. The grown-ups smile as they turn their attention to Cyan's roughhousing, during which Shanna, the family dog, makes a gallant lunge targeting Cyan's prize soother necklace. Generous in victory, Shanna offers the necklace, hoping Cyan will keep the game going. It doesn't happen. Instead, time stands still. For a moment, all seems normal. Then a hidden memory is triggered.
Wah!
The nightmare has been released. The little girl vents in human sounds. Wanda has never seen such an intense display from her daughter. Shanna flees, sensing she is somehow in trouble, and Cyan, like a crazed banshee, pursues her.
Cyan, you stop that right now!
For nearly 3 minutes, Wanda tries to calm her daughter. She's seen her throw tantrums before, but none reached anywhere near this magnitude. Through it all, Cyan can only repeat one thing.
Necklace! Necklace! Me want necklace!
Okay, sweetie, please just calm down. She does, but only after the object is securely in her tiny grasp. Then Cyan settles down completely as if nothing had been the matter. Wanda's not able to understand what just happened. Is Cyan tired? Hungry? Though the soother has been important to Cyan the past few weeks, with her while sleeping, playing, and bathing, it doesn't justify her outburst. In fact, Cyan's attachment is not to the soother, but to the shoelace strung through it. Itself remarkable because it had last been used to bind her dead husband's face as it healed. Now, it's what keeps Cyan's unwanted memories in check. Unfortunately, others live in a world where suffering cannot be so easily vanquished. Such is the curse of this new hellspawn. He is forever trying to resolve his personal conflicts, but he ends up digging himself in deeper. Because in spite of all the madness that goes on around him, it is neither heaven nor hell that keeps him from regaining his humanity. The truth is something he's not willing to concede. So anger fills this reanimated corpse, now spilling over with such intensity that destruction of his surroundings is the most sensible course of action. This is exactly the way hell wants him to be. How they need him to be. Be careful, Al. You're making this far too easy for Malbolgia, which he's counting on.
I'm sick of you crowding me all the time, Cog. So do us both a favor and leave. Now!
Why? So you can demolish everything and wallow in self-pity?
Learn from your mistakes, dammit.
Question what's happening. Then perhaps you'll find the purpose you're truly meant to fulfill. Until you acquire the proper knowledge, hell will always have the upper hand.
Then let it! I don't have the strength anymore. The fight isn't in me.
Liar!
If you didn't care, if none of this mattered to you, then you wouldn't be so pissed off. Well, too bad, Al, but it all pivots on you, and you're letting your passions dictate how each test will end. This time you chose revenge. Now that's now cost you a brief chance with your wife.
Maybe you didn't know your human face wouldn't last. By now you're smart enough to realize nothing is as it appears. Though you set out with best of intentions, you spent precious time with an enemy instead of where it mattered to you the most.
How was I supposed to know? I thought I could be a man again.
You can be, but not your way. Your face rotted because your body in uniform rejected it. See, you belong in these alleys, hidden away and not as bad off as it appears.
Within these shadows lie some of the secrets that can help you restore your humanity. You are placed here by God. Hell may have chosen you, but Heaven had the call to locate you wherever on Earth they wanted. Have no doubts, Heaven has a hand in all this too, and they selected this place for a reason.
I don't care. Can't you get that through your head? I just wanted to see my wife, that's all. I didn't ask to live in this goddamn nightmare, and I can't do anything about it, not even kill myself. I can't die, don't you understand? I can't die! I can't die!
We all have our crosses to bear, but if it's redemption you seek, then learn. A second chance has been given to you. The quest isn't to become a man again, but to become better than you were before. That's how you'll finally be free. Otherwise, you'll languish in hell's trap, trusting no one and living out a pathetic existence surrounded with nothing but evil.
In a fine diner, Terry Fitzgerald is finishing a late business meeting.
Pardon me, but could we please get the bill? Thanks.
So, okay, I'll talk over your proposal with Jimmy on Wednesday morning when he... Bleep! Excuse me a minute, Doug.
Hello? This is Wanda. Something weird happened to Cyan today that I thought you should know about.
Wanda recounts the details of their daughter's strange behavior. Not because she expects any answers, but because she knows Terry would want to be told.
See you next week. You bet.
Terry. Psst, over here.
Huh? How'd you know my... Al, is that you?
Your face. Where'd it go?
It doesn't matter. Not anymore. I thought things would last a bit longer. Hoped things would be different, but they aren't. No matter how hard I try to change what I've become, this curse, these powers, I can't beat it. The sooner I accept it, the better we'll all be.
You're not making any sense.
What I'm trying to say is I'm willing to make a go of it with you again. Go through with the plans we had to bring Wynn to his political knees. If we disrupt enough of his foreign strongholds, his allies will turn on him.
What about Wanda?
She can't see me like this or know I'm even alive. You keep her happy for now.
What?
That's it. You just want me to forget everything and wait around until you think she's ready for you?
Well, you can go to hell, do you hear me? I don't like being threatened. You remember doing that? You said we were enemies.
And here I used to think we were friends. But you're nothing like the Al Simmons that I knew. You want an end to this war? Fine, let's end it.
You phone Wanda right now. Tell her you're back and that she can only have one of us. I'm tired of playing your friggin' waiting game. Here.
Okay then, I'll dial her myself.
Beep bop beep boop.
Talk to her, dammit. Be a man.
Hello? Hello?
If she's gonna reject me, I want to know today.
Terry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Since you've been back, my life has been hell too. Welcome to the club.
Hello, Terry, is that you?
I'm sorry about that, sweetheart. I had a little problem here at the office.
Anyway, I thought I'd leave work early today. Take you and Cyan out for some fun.
We both loved that.
Late that same night, they began to crawl, the children of darkness, bugs and beasts that served those touched by hell. Pouring from every possible crack, they engulfed the Hellspawn. He's their new master, and they sense his needs, his pain. Being draped in their evil will make him strong again, so the flood continues. Al Simmons begins to feel himself drowning in a black abyss, pulled there by his own aura of sin. Then it vanishes. He's been dreaming nightmare thoughts of the damned, and with that, a wave of dizziness drags him under. For a brief moment, it appears he is running. That's only because he can't catch up to his lost balance. Crash! Until something stops him. He grasps through charred lungs now, formed of an indescribable substance. Talon hands try to lock onto anything solid and stable. He can't. His next attempt to walk fails after only a few yards.
Yeah!
The force of his fall is partially cushioned by a disheveled homeless man, himself unable to stand upright. Though in his case, as a result of a drinking binge.
My God, I've been hit! Did you see? That truck just ran over my leg. Didn't slow down or nothing. Get his license, someone. It's a hit and run. I've been crippled. Get an ambulance, please!
Eventually, the fog lifts from Spawn's brain and he meanders back to his sanctuary, his posture suggesting minimal remorse for the damage his 400-pound body may have caused. I'm gonna be an amputee! He needs time, space, to think. Has he gone crazy? Was this just an isolated incident? Does he have any control at all, or is he just falling further into the suffocating embrace of sin? As he rubs his temple, he feels the bizarre nausea passing, and relieved that it was just some sadistic short-term virus. The tiny creature crawling out of his peripheral says otherwise. All right, that's all we're doing for now. We're at issue number 67, Homeland. 1997. We will see you guys next time on Grimm's Comics Corner with more Spawn in June. Stay tuned. I'm out.